Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Strength of spirit is just as real as strength of body. If your body gets really weak, then the smallest activity is hard or too hard. You know, just walking across the room or just lifting a can of soup or something. If you're really, really weak, that's a hard thing to do. But if you're strong, it's nothing, mm-hmm. right? You do it without thinking about mm-hmm. it. Pick that can up like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, your spirit's that way. If your spirit's really weak, then any challenge just seems impossible. It just, you know, if you have little faith or no faith in an area and something comes up in that area, you just, you know, hopelessness and oppression and that kind of thing will just seem overwhelming. But if your spirit's strong and the same kind of thing comes up again, you're like, hey, this ain't no problem for God, right? Greater is He that's in me than He that. But the strength is either there or it's not. You wishing you were stronger doesn't make you stronger. If your body was weak, something's got to change for it to become stronger. And if your spirit's weak, something's got to change. You need to start feeding on the right things, and you need to start using your faith. And that's what Faith School is all about. So if you're here with us today and you'll give the Lord your full attention, you'll already be getting stronger by the end of this class. Yes. You watch and see. Yes. Father, all of us agree together, looking to You. You are the source of our strength. Yes. And Your words do quicken us and lift us and heal us and restore us. We're asking for the utterance and the anointing and the ears to hear and the answers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on this series for weeks now called Faith for Provision. And we're going one by one through 30 reasons in Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Said out loud, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always God's will,
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
Now that's a big statement. Us all means every person around, particularly we're talking about every believer, every person in the body of Christ, it's God's will for them to have abundant provision every day of their life.
Amen.
Yes. That means if you see lack and you see poverty, that's not the will of God.
Right.
Not God's plan. Not God's will. And I realize, you know, there are people on the planet right now starving to death for lack of something decent to eat. No way that's the will of God. No way. Well, if you just don't have enough to pay your electric bill, or if you don't have enough to keep your body alive, that's the same evil stuff. Mm-hmm. Just different degrees of lack. Mm-hmm. Enough lack will kill you.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you see this?
Yes.
So if a lot of it's bad and evil, a little of it's bad too.
Right.
Yes. Right? And anything in between. And so in our study, we've been seeing that our 16th reason in our study of 30 the promised land, and how that the Lord said the promised land is a land where you will have no scarceness and a land where you will not lack anything in it. Well, is that the will of God?
Yes.
And is He able to do that? Can He do things in your life to where you get to the point where you go day after day, week after week, month after month, and are not behind on any bills?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Not short on anything. No scarceness.
No scarceness.
And not lacking anything.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's good news.
Yes.
Which is the word for gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the gospel.
Yes.
I know people argue and fuss about it, but it is the gospel.
Yes.
It's part of the good news of what Christ has done for us in redeeming us. Well, like we said, we've been talking about these reasons, and now number 16, the promised land. And He told them that this generation of Israelites that He delivered out of Egyptian bondage, that He had spied out a land for them, a pleasant land, good land, the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. That's God describing it.
Yes.
A land where you will not lack anything in it. A land of no scarceness. Now, get rid of religious interference.
Yes.
And hear how God is talking about this. Right? If God didn't like abundance, more than enough, good and nice things and stuff. If God really did like minimalism, you know, not anything more than what's necessary, living a minimalist life, then when He got them to the wilderness, they're there.
Yes.
Right? He would have just said, hey, you're home. Right? You're home. We'll believe God, you know. You don't have anything big. You don't have anything fancy. If that's the will of God, they're perfect right where they are.
Right.
Nothing fancy, nothing extra. Everything you need to survive and live.
Yes.
But that wasn't God's plan for them.
No.
Huh? They just had to go through there to get to where He's taking them.
Yes.
Now, what some people have said, well, yeah, that's heaven, you know. And His will for this life is the wilderness. No, because once they got to the promised land, it was not rest from your labors. It was strap on your fighting gear. Is that right? Right? It was. Get ready to fight. That's why the first generation didn't go in there, because they were too scared to fight and didn't believe they could win any battles. No, they're in the promised land. There were giants. There were seemingly insurmountable defenses of these cities walled up, the Bible said, to heaven. They describe it like that because it just looked like there's no way you could ever get in there. And once you got in there, giants are waiting on you.
Yeah.
Is that right? With metal spears and lances and bows and chariots. And you got to remember, this bunch were slaves a few months ago, right? They're not a trained army, and they don't have all the gear for fighting battles, but they had God.
Yes.
I said, but they had God, and He was way more than enough. He already knew how He was going to do it, but it would take faith. But though Egypt was not enough, they didn't even own their own bodies. Wilderness was just enough. He that gathered much didn't have anything over. He that gathered little had no lack. Just enough. But that wasn't God's plan and will. He said, I got a land for you. Right? It flows. Flows with milk and honey and houses you didn't build, filled with all good things. I think we need to look at that verse again. What do you think? You'll see that in Nehemiah 9, he referred to that. You also see it in a couple of places in Deuteronomy. But I tell you what, let's look at Deuteronomy 6 and 10. Deuteronomy 6 and 10. It says, it'll be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you. Now, a couple of classes back, we studied in Deuteronomy 8:18 about how the Lord said that, about giving them all this stuff, was actually keeping his covenant with their forefathers, which was Abraham. And he said, you will, you know, when you get all these things, don't forget God. But Deuteronomy 8:18, you'll remember that it was the Lord your God who gave you the power to get this wealth so that he might establish the covenant. And so that's still what's going on today. The reason that you and I have a right to blessings in this life in Christ is not based on us after the flesh, because most of us were outside the covenant. Gentiles, without God, no hope in the world, the scripture said. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we now, who were afar off, have been brought near. Hallelujah. And like we read in Galatians 3:13, he redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's why he said, so then we that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Well, that's what he's talking about. This covenant that was the promised land was the fulfillment of the covenant that he made with Abraham. That's what it was. And he's still fulfilling the same covenant today, because we are the seed of Abraham and the blessing rests on us. And so he goes on to say, verse 10, the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you builded not, and houses full of all good things which you filled not, and wells digged which you digged not, vineyards and olive trees that you planted not. This is the language we see repeatedly. That God said, you know, of course, first off, they didn't make the land. God made the land, right? Then they didn't build the cities. They didn't build houses. They didn't plant. You know, some of these things take decades to develop, even including things like vineyards and orchards take years, right? And sometimes several years. And he is saying, you're just going to walk in. Huh? And you know, there's a phrase we use in modern things, turnkey. Yeah. Right? What's that mean? Everything's ready to go. You just turn the key, walk in the house, right? Turn the key, start the car. Everything is done. It's not in the planning stages. It's not in the intermediary construction stage. Boy, you think about all the noise they missed. Yes. Right? All the construction noise, the hauling, the beep, beep, beep. You know? I don't know that the donkeys did that back then. But you know what I'm saying? There was noise and the dust. Is that right? And all of that stuff, you know, there's a higher way. I said there's a higher way of getting things. And what it is Matthew 6, 33. That's it. Hold your place here and let's look at Matthew 6. There's a higher way of getting things. You can work yourself silly. You can work three jobs. You can burn. Now, working's good. Working's God's idea. But it's possible to work hard all your life and have nothing. It is. Too many times it's happened. And if you're only counting on what you can produce, you are severely limited. Huh? Somebody said, well, you don't know how I make good money. Not as good as what God can do. Huh? And a lot of times people who push themselves hard, they do it at great expense. They do it at the cost of their health. They do it at the cost of their families, their relationships, and a lot of times at their length of days is cut short. And it's not just reaching a certain level of things. Are you in the will of God?
Yes.
Right? Because I don't care how big and nice the house is. If you're out of the will of God, you don't have peace.
No.
You don't have joy. You can't enjoy it. No. And do you have the presence of God in your life from knowing that that's richness?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And good relationships.
Yes.
With your spouse and your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors and your church family and those kind of things. That's being rich.
Amen.
That's being rich. And with the support of the natural things to do what you need to do, that's the promised land. That's what he was talking about. Now, he said in Matthew 6 chapter, verse 31, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So he's describing the, you know, what some people have called the rat race, the dog eat dog, the hustling and the working and the straining. He said the Gentiles described all the nations outside of God. And he said all of them, that's what they're doing. They're chasing a dollar. They're chasing a dream. They're chasing success. He said, don't do that.
Yes.
Huh? Well, see, some people have taken that as meaning, well, you'll never have anything. And you just need to accept that and be okay with that. That's God's plan. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, don't take any thought, no anxious worry or care about any of that. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things, but here's what you do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? And when you get to heaven, it will be nice. No, he's talking about this life. All these things, what things? The things that, verse 32, all these things the Gentiles are seeking after. Your Father knows you have need of all these things. See, he had already used that phrase twice before in the previous verse. All these things. All what things? What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, where you live. He's talking about stuff in this life. And what did he say? If you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, instead of taking 5 years and two lawsuits and four stomach problems to get that house built, God works it out where it's already built. It's already done. And the money's already here. But it's not because you were just doing nothing. And it's not because you were lusting after that house for 5 years. For 5 years, you were seeking the plan of God, doing God's will and God's things. And he took care of you and put you where, beyond where you'd have put yourself. Exceeding abundantly above what you asked or thought. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. And that's what the promised land is a type of. When he says houses full. This is Deuteronomy 6:11. Houses full of all good things that you didn't fill. Houses full of good things. Now you might say, well, yeah, but I want to pick out my own stuff with you. You can still pick out some stuff, but you think God doesn't know what you like? Are you kidding? He knows better than you do what you like. You know, he's the one working on your place in heaven right now, right? And when you see it, you will not go, ooh, I don't like this. This is not my style. No, you won't. No, you won't. If it was possible to faint in heaven, you'd probably faint and go, oh, God, this is better than I ever imagined. Go to Proverbs 24. We talked yesterday's class about not despising the goodness of the Lord, but delighting in it. Now, this is probably bigger than you're hearing right now. This is a very big thing. Despising or delighting? Very big thing. And it's a choice of you believing God or not. We're going to see later on, I think, looking at the Israelites that came out of Egypt. When they got to Kadesh Barnea and the spies came back, the scripture said they despised the land and they slandered it. And it was kind of the last straw for them. That was the 10th time they had done that since God brought them out of Egypt, where they chose to speak evil of what God said was good. And they chose to mock and doubt and blame Moses and Aaron and blame God and look back to Egypt and say, wish we'd have stayed in Egypt and wish we could go back. And that's not just history. That's how unbelief sounds.
Yeah.
And that's why God has given us this permanent record of it. It sounds exactly the same today. And it sounds like complaining and blaming and negative. And it's evil. Hebrews calls it an evil heart of unbelief. And so what we're talking about right now is absolutely too good for a lot of people. What do you mean? Houses full of good things, right? People go, oh, that's so materialistic. It's Bible, right? Yeah, but that's Old Testament. I just read Matthew, right? You see what I'm saying? Religion is so evil. Jesus said, your traditions have made of none effect the Word of God. And people don't realize that what they cling to and fight and defend is not God's word. It's tradition. It's men's religious ideas that's actually robbing them of what God has. And so it causes people to wind up, to wind up despising the goodness of God. That's a Bible phrase. Despising the goodness of God. Wherein the generation that enjoyed it, Nehemiah says, we read that to you. I'll read it again. He said, Nehemiah 9:25, they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses. Everybody say houses.
Houses
full of all goods. Like we said before, they don't call them bads because they're not bad. They're good. Good. And the house wasn't barren and it didn't have a bunch of junk that they picked up from flea markets. It was what? Goods. Goods. Top stuff. Top stuff. Wells digged. Vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Let that phrase be imprinted on you. Said out loud, they delighted themselves.
They delighted themselves
in His great goodness.
In His great goodness.
They did what?
They delighted themselves
in His great goodness. And there's no coincidence that agrees with the phrase that Jesus said, I delight to do your will, O God. They go together. Because if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll what? Which is what? The goodness of God. It enables you and allows you to eat the good of the land. But you needed to be willing to do His will. So said out loud,
I delight
to do your will,
O God.
Hallelujah. I delight to do your will, O God. And He said, they delighted themselves in your great goodness. That is the opposite of what they did at Kadesh Barnea when they came back and said, oh, it's a good land, but. In other words, none of that matters because we'll never see it. We'll never get to enjoy it. They said, it's a land that will eat you up. It's a land that will kill you. It's a land where we will all die and be destroyed. And the Lord took that personally. And he said, you have slandered the land. Because what kind of land did God call it?
Good.
Good land. What are they saying?
Bad.
It's a bad land that'll kill you. Mm-hmm. Now, this kept them from going in the promised land. Yeah. This caused them to die young and die wrong in the desert. These principles are still at work today. When you hear about God's goodness, he is so good, you'll have to expand your mind and your heart to embrace it. And the enemy will immediately come and say, are you kidding? That's a crazy dream. You're just dreaming. That's just imagination. Are you saying God can't do it? Are you saying he's not good enough to do it? That is not his will. He wants bad things for us. No, they delighted themselves in the goodness. They got on the good side.
Amen.
With the good God.
Yes.
And the good plan.
Yes.
And said, no, we go into the good land.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And they did.
Yes.
That's the second generation under Joshua's leadership. They did. They actually got to move into the house.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They got the swing and the hammock out in the backyard. They got to see the vineyards and the orchards. And you know, Caleb said at 80 years old, give me this mountain. And he got his own mountain. Got to change the name. So what is that? Mount Caleb. That's Caleb's mountain. He got it. He got it because they didn't think it was too big. They didn't think it was too great for God to be able to do or that God would do. He that comes to God must believe. He must believe that he is, well, if he's God, he can do anything.
Yes.
And that he is a rewarder. Well, a reward's something good,
yes.
Not something bad, right? I mean, if I come whack you over the head and you go, bam, you say, what was that? That was a reward? No, it ain't a reward. Huh? A reward's something good.
Yes.
Well, our time's up again. Everybody say, I do believe.
I do believe.
God's a good God.
With
a good plan
for me.
Hallelujah. We'll see you again next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.